morning. Welcome to Glenshaw Valley. Thank you all for being here today. Just a few quick announcements. First, because it can't be avoided, you saw the work that was going on in the back. The deacons have put together 35 back-to-school kits for local school children, and they have a goal of 50, so they're still working on collecting back-to-school supplies, and they will still accept donations next Sunday. So if anybody would like to donate any school supplies to help achieve the goal of 50, we would certainly appreciate that. You can put them back on the table back by where the food bank donations go. Other announcements so far today are pretty much in the bulletin, pretty much unchanged from past weeks. Not a lot of new things coming up. Just some mark your calendar dates. Please mark your calendar for next Sunday, which is Leonard's first day back from vacation, so we certainly want to welcome him back. Sunday after that is coffee and donuts and rally day for Junior Church, and Sunday after that is National Come Back to Church Sunday, and we will be having our pig roast and our first Sunday school classes. So lots happening in the next 3 weeks, the first 3 weeks of September. So please, again, as I said, mark your calendars for those. Also mark your calendars, as I said last week, the Women's Association has decided to continue with their luncheon efforts, and the first luncheon will be in September, so anybody able to help, please check with Linda Lombardo, who is here today. She's waving her hand back there, she's waiting for you to help her. So please, if there's anything you can do to support the efforts of the luncheon, do that. One thing that people may not know about or may not understand in the announcements, the Glen Avenue Preschool is now holding classes in the Christian Education Nursery Room. Come to an open house on August 27th, meet the teachers, and there's also a number to call for more information. This is a nursery school that was meeting at the Glenshaw Presbyterian Church up until this past May, and they were displaced and found that our nursery classroom was just perfect to meet their needs. So we welcome them. They will be regular tenants. It seems like such a cold word. They will be regular visitors to our building starting August 27th with the open house. So stop over and see what they've done with the nursery and what's going to be happening over there. And we also want to welcome with us today Debbie Soa, who is here for Mickey. Debbie, welcome back. Debbie's been with us a number of times, and we always look forward to hearing her play and having her with us. And also, we welcome back another old friend, Jay McMillan, and his wife, are with us today. And I'm not sure you'll recognize Jay without his full bishop's regalia, but Jay is usually with us during the holiday season, and we're happy to have them with us. So welcome to everybody.
Thank you. And my thanks, Becky's and my thanks, I should say, to Pastor Leonard and the session for inviting me to preach this morning. Many, many thanks. But as we gather together to worship God, hear these words from the Book of Psalms as a call to worship. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go up to the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem." Jerusalem built as a city which is bound firmly together, to which the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. Peace be within your walls and security within your towers. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will say peace be within you. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Let us worship God, and let us stand and sing together the hymn of praise, number 2, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing.
Call for songs of loudest praise.
If we say that we have not sinned, the truth is not in us, and we are farther from God than we know. But when we confess our sin, we draw nigh unto God, and we are granted grace and cleansing and made new creations altogether. In humility, with contrite hearts, let us confess our sins together. Father God, we claim that we want to live with you, to make pilgrimage to your house for our eternal dwelling. But we stumble and falter. We stray from your chosen paths. We do not follow your directions. We are lost in our sin, in the ways of the world. We are far from you, far from home, and it is getting dark. In your mercy, grant that Jesus, our good shepherd, finds us. By your Holy Spirit, lead us home to you. Forgive our sin and seal us by Christ's blood, that we never roam from you, from home, ever again. For Jesus' glory we ask this. Amen. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven. And a good sign in sealing our part of the covenant. Let us say again the words which we believe. This very small but very good statement of our faith, the Apostles' Creed, printed in the back of the hymnal. Let us speak the words together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell, and the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us greet one another with the love of the Lord. The responsive reading is found in the Pew Bible, Psalm 127. And I know this isn't the normal way of doing responsive readings, but I'll read a verse, and there are only five of them here, so I'll read a verse, and then you read the next one. And this, you want to know something, this is the way our ancestors in the old Presbyterian Church in Scotland, and in colonial days also, did worship. So let us read together from the Word of God, Psalm 127, in the Pew Bible on page 537. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain.
It is in vain and rises early, and the rain is fresh, eating the bread of anxious toil. For
Lo, sons are a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of the womb a reward. Happy is the man who has his quiver full of them. He shall not be put to shame when he speaks with his enemies in the gate. You're going. Okay. All right, you read them up right now.
Hello again. We have some prayer requests this morning. Suzanne Connor has asked for prayer for Mildred Cribbs. Mildred has colon cancer and it has metastasized to the stomach. Is that correct? Am I reading your shorthand right? Okay. She's been given 6 months to live and she is at home with hospice. So keep her in your prayers, just basically for comfort for her and her family. Suzanne is also asking for prayers for her father, Jack Smith. He's had 5 falls and 3 back surgeries, and he is currently in rehab and on suicide watch due to his severe pain. So again, we pray for healing and comfort for him and for Suzanne. Adele has asked for prayers for herself, that God touches the aneurysm on the top of her aorta. She is going to have a CT scan Tuesday at 11:30, so please keep her in prayer and pray that things go well and that God will touch that aneurysm. And we have a praise request from Tom Dworkin, who is with us this morning, so praise for that. Tom just wishes to thank everyone for prayers and cards while he was in the hospital, and he says he's feeling better, so we're very glad to have you back with us. And also keep Leonard in our prayers as he finishes his last week of vacation and returns to us this week.
Yep. Yes, I do want them. I am someone who firmly believes in prayer. It's God's blessing to us. It's our way of directly going to the throne of the Father's grace and receiving His blessing. And He always answers prayer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait a while. I think that's the hardest answer of all. But God does hear. And I would encourage everyone, you know, to take these prayer concerns to heart. And as Scripture reminds us, in life and in death, we belong to God through Jesus Christ. Do you think He's going to lose us? Not even death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus for us. In full commitment and full faith, let us go to the throne of God. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You for being You. That You are God Almighty. And even though we can't comprehend how it is, You are one God and in 3 distinct persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, a blessed and holy Trinity, and You have created us, You have redeemed us, and You sustain us by Your very word. You called all of creation out of nothingness, out of the void, and formed it in Your love. And even at that time, You knew we would sin. You knew Your Son would have to come and suffer a hellish death and descend into hell for our sakes. And so we thank You, Lord, for Yourself, for Your great love, for Your sustaining power that You give us. And because of these gifts and so many others, the church, our mother and our family, our families in Christ, where we gather round the table, parent and child, brother and sister, friend with friend, we thank You, O Lord. And because of these gifts, we can trust You to hear our prayers. And Lord, You hear our prayers all the time, but You especially like those thank you prayers. And Tom's offering those up, and glad he's out of the hospital, and let Your Holy Spirit continue to heal him and restore him. And Lord, Mildred's gotten some really bad news. The colon cancer, and it's spreading. And Lord, I can't speak for her life. But you know that once the doctors told me I had only 6 months to live, maybe eight. And that was back in 97. Lord, pour out your spirit for Mildred. Heal her and drive the cancer out. And Lord, if that's not your will, then be with Mildred, be with Suzanne and all the family. And grant them strength, grant them victory in the name of Jesus. But bless and guide the doctors. And let them be your instruments of healing, and the nurses and pharmacists, technicians and all. But pour out your spirit and bring healing. And if that's not your will, Lord, then let it be a victory. Victory over death and loss and separation. Give us faith for these things. And Lord, for Jack Smith, falling and the back surgeries, for the suicide watch, Lord, Jack needs you to hold him in the hollow of your hand as you promised in Jesus, and that you'd never let go and nothing could snatch us away from you. Lord God, fold Jack up in the hollow of your hand and then hold him close to your heart. And bring him through this time with victory, with peace, and with strengthening through Christ. And Lord, Adele is asking for healing for the aneurysms. Again, guide the doctors, give them your skill and your wisdom. Lord, fulfill in her all the promises of Christ and give her victory. And Lord God, we need other victories. Our world, our nation, even our community, and parts of what people call the church have turned their backs on you, upon Christ, upon your written word and scripture, and we've wandered far, 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 far from home. Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit for a new reformation, a new great awakening, a new revival. Pour out your spirit within and through your people. Even as you taught us, Lord Jesus, that rivers of living water, the Holy Spirit, would flow from us to the world. Father, the world is dying of thirst. Take places like Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church USA and Lifeline Community Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church and all the others that are faithful to you in Christ. And Father, let us be wellsprings of the Holy Spirit, and let that Spirit go out across the countryside, not just here in our little valleys and hilltops, but across our nation and our world, and bring revival, bring people, our nation, our rulers, and all, bring them to Christ. And we thank you, Lord God, that we were founded as a Christian country. Bring us back to those roots. Bring us back to Christ and your word and scripture. And build us anew to your glory. And Lord God, watch over those who watch over us. The soldiers, the sailors, the Marines, the airmen, the Coast Guard, the Merchant Marine. And all the different police forces, federal and state and local. Watch over these men and women as they protect us, and we thank you for their sacrifices, that we can be here this morning and worship and praise you without fear and without trembling, except that we fear and tremble in your holy presence, but we do not have to fear men. And Lord God, we thank you for the children, and let us reach out to them with the gospel of Christ. And let your new work begin with them. Father God, there are many other prayers that weren't written down or offered up, but you hear those as well. And we give you all praise and thanks for the great love you show us, and that our prayers are heard and answered. And yes, we must pray, your will be done, not ours. But your will is for our salvation, for our blessing, for our victory over death, for our victory over sin, over loss and suffering. And so we do pray your will be done, and we pray it with confidence no matter what happens. And we pray that we would live our lives unto your glory through Christ. And now to give Christ the glory, we would pray together, even as he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation is printed in the bulletin. Come labor on. Let us stand to worship God. Please be seated. It's time to begin saying thank you back to God. Let us do so as we offer up the gifts of our tithes and offerings. Father, we love you, for you have loved us in Christ and sealed us with your Holy Spirit. Receive these gifts we offer up. Multiply them as the widow's oil and flour. Multiply them as the fish and the loaves. That the gospel of Christ go forth in all power, in all strength, in all glory. And Lord, bless us unto your service. From the youngest to the oldest, from the greatest to the least. Make us your servants. And let us build your kingdom in this world. Receive our gifts, receive us. We ask it in Jesus' name and for the glory of his name. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw Valley. In this morning's scripture, Christ tells us that we should build our house and our faith on a firm foundation. And this reminds me of Matthew 16:18, where Jesus said, "And I tell you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overthrow it." Now, as I was doing my preparation for today, I read some commentaries, Matthew Henry, the international one, and I found something interesting because I always misread this one. I thought he was saying that Peter would be the rock. And in fact, there's a lot of people that interpret it that way. But the commentary said, no, the way Jesus said it, you are called the rock, but on this foundation, on Jesus Christ, will I build my church. So listen to your own personal messages. I read Luke 6, 46 through 49. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like the man building a house who dug deep down and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came and a torrent struck the house, but could not shake it, because it was built well. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like the man who built his house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." Bless the reading and hearing of our scripture.
I had a blessing as a child that I didn't even realize was a blessing until I got older. I was born in 1951, and beginning in 1948, 3 years before my birth, my dad bought a piece of property out in the backwoods, as it was then, of Beaver County. Had a quarter mile driveway, about a 30, 35 acre field out front. We were surrounded by woods on the other sides pretty much. Some power lines have been through and changed that. But I grew up not only with our approximately 7 acres to roam over, but also probably, I would guess, at least 1,000 or more acres owned by neighbors. And this was the day when neighbors didn't mind you, you know, slipping under their fence as long as you didn't, you know, do any damage or anything, you know. And I wandered those woods and those fields. And then later I was blessed to get a horse and I rode all over the place. But my dad began building that house in 1948. He had it pretty much finished by the time I was born. For the basement, first and second stories. And my dad, with a very little bit of help from another fellow named Gene Rich, who helped Dad with the kitchen cabinets, from the footer, that's where you lay the concrete block on top of, from the footer and the sewers and the concrete basement floor to the roof, top of the roof, Dad built that house himself. And it was a great place. And it was, you know, a place I loved and I cherished. And when Mom and Dad sold it, my heart kind of went, you know, I didn't want to see the place go. But after Mom died, back in 09, we're going through all the things, you know, crammed up in the cubby holes in the attic. There were the old blueprints all rolled up. It was kind of neat to pull them out. I've got them stashed somewhere, but they're so brittle, I didn't want to bring them today because, you know, I was afraid they'd break and crumble more. But my father, with all of his skill, all of his love, all of his might, found a beautiful place out in the country, a little creek down at the back of the property. Go hunting crawdads and salamanders and such. But he built this place. And to a little guy who was born much later than his three siblings, it was a magical, wonderful place. But Dad, with all of his love, all of his might, all of his skill, built that place. And it wasn't just a house, it was a home. And it was a safe refuge in so many, many ways. But the question is, what if Dad had looked at the blueprints and said, well, you know, it calls for a 2x12 there, but 2x4s are a lot cheaper. Or what if it would have said, well, you know, that calls for a number one concrete block, not a number three, and he would have put the number threes in because they were cheaper. You know, that house is still standing. And those beautiful hardwood floors, with the exception of some accidents by the owners between my parents and the folks. Now, those beautiful hardwood oak floors are still there. That beautiful fireplace with the red, large red stones around it, it's still there. It's sound and it's good. Dad took the blueprints. He bought the best materials. And he labored. And I have to tell this too. My dad wasn't exactly perfect. For years, we had these steps that went down into the basement. And what they were 2 2x12s for the stringers. That's the side parts. And then there were 2x10s for the treads. But there, you know, there was no backing on the, you know, and it was all just open. Guess when we finished that staircase? When I was in seminary. Okay? Between, you know, I was born in 51, and I can't remember exactly what year, but between 73 and 77 when I graduated, I helped Dad put really nice finished staircase going down into that, you know, and I helped Dad insulate it and do some other things that, you know, just weren't done back in the late 40s and early 50s. God has set a blueprint for you and for me, for all the Christians, before us, right now, and following us. He has set out a blueprint on how to build his home in this world. And I got news for you. I love the sanctuary here at Glenshaw Valley. But this isn't God's home. Oh, we say it's God's house. I mean, we inherited that from our covenanter and seceder ancestors, you know, in the Presbyterian Church. They wouldn't call this a church. It was the house or the meeting house. And somehow, you know, it got changed into God's house too. But that all came. This isn't. Where is God's dwelling place? Where is the temple of God? Yeah, I see people doing. It's in us. It's in us. And God sets that building up. And we're his dwelling place. We're his home. Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. I will send the Holy Spirit who will be with you for 10 seconds, for 10 hours, 10 years, forever. Forever. Jesus said, excuse me. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things I say unto you? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock, and when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently against that house, it could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. And Bill's right to tell us with the scripture reading, the rock isn't Peter. It's not the church of Rome. It's that rock of faith that is down inside each and every one of us. A rock put there by God since before the foundation of the world. A little while ago, you'll remember I said something in a prayer about since before the foundation of the world. You know, God knew we'd sin. And we could go to Ephesians 1, and it says there that we were chosen in the Beloved since before the foundation of the world. That means you and I were chosen by God before He said, let there be light. Now, we didn't have pre-existent souls. That's a Mormon heresy. We weren't alive then. But God knew, and He chose each and every last one of us here this morning, and each and every one who comes to Christ in all humility, like the taxpayer in the temple beating his breast and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Or like the prodigal son saying, Father, I've sinned against you and before heaven. I'm no longer worthy to be your son. When we pray those types of prayers, God is showing His work in us. That's why it's so sad that in our society and in certain parts of the church, there are people saying, we don't want to deal with sin anymore. We don't need to deal. It's not sin. We should accept it all. Well, I'd like to see those people do that and sit down at a dinner where plates of food are laid out, and certain plates are marked with a skull and crossbones and the huge capital letter word, poison. Well, if it doesn't matter, then eat all that food, right? No, we know better than that, don't we? We know better. My dad knew better than to put a 2x4 in where a 2x12 was needed. He knew to buy number one concrete block, not number three. God wants to build His house, His home in each one of us, and He wants to build it right. He set the blueprint out. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent, turn from your sins, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The blueprint's there. We just need to follow it. You know, blueprints and material. Have you ever seen a contractor's estimate for building you a house? Have you ever seen that? It'll say so many sheets of drywall, so many 2x4s, 2x6s, 2x12s. It'll say whether it should use number 14 or number 12 wiring. Of course, these days it has to be three wiring. Sometimes you have a 220 line for the dryer or for the stove. Copper pipe or stainless pipe or whatever is needed. You know, that whole long list is there. And you might look at it and say, well, you know, Mr. Builder Man, Mr. Builder Ma'am, I could go down and buy a 2x4 for about a buck cheaper. And the contractor's going to say, but I have to pay my workers. I have to provide the tools. I have to provide insurance. And so that extra dollar covers a lot of ground on that 2x4. But God's got to have laborers. My dad, like I say, he built the house pretty much alone. He did have some friends from the church come and help him get the 2x4 and stud walls up and so forth. He had Gene Rich come and help him build those beautiful old, you know, there was the old tongue and groove knotty pine cabinetry. Had the little black wrought iron hinges and the little flipper latch. Do you remember those? Guess what? They're still in that kitchen. And Dad worked in crucible steel, so he went down and he got a big sheet of stainless steel that he'd helped roll. Guess what the countertops are? Stainless steel. We've got to labor. God says, I'm giving you a blueprint. Follow it. It's here in the Bible. I'm going to give you the material, which is your life, lived in humble submission to me. And you aren't going to labor alone. You've got all the other saints here with you to help you. You've got the saints who believe from Adam and Eve onward till the end of the age when Christ returns. We're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, as Paul writes in Hebrews. And believe it or not, Scripture teaches us clear. The angels help us in our need, don't they? They helped our Lord Jesus. He was tempted in the desert 40 days and 40 nights. And says the angels came and ministered to him. And Jesus said, each of my little ones, and I don't know about you, I'm 62, and I know to some of you that's young, and some of you that's old, whatever. I guess it's middle-aged, huh? But each and every one of his little ones, no matter what our age, we have a guardian angel who watches over us by the command of God. Brothers and sisters, we can do all the talking and hand-wringing and grieving over where certain people are doing certain things. But God wants to build his home with you. In you. In me. In us. The blueprint is here in the Bible. He gives us the materials. The Lord's Supper, holy baptism, fellowship, mission, those are all materials. And he gives us the labor to help us erect this beautiful dwelling to God. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to be beautiful on the outside. It was like one of my preacher friends years ago, he said to me, he says, Jay, you know, I know God has a sense of humor. Because he says, as I'm standing there every morning after my shower, he says, with a towel wrapped around me shaving, he says, I know God has a sense of humor. I see myself. You know, we may not be the most beautiful thing in the world physically, but in God's eyes, when we allow God to build his home in us, we become precious and beautiful in his sight. How many of you like old movies? Like them? Go back. I know it was Cary Grant, and I think it was Myrna Loy. Mr. Blandings builds his dream house. They had been living in the city in this apartment. It was getting cramped, so they go out and they buy this beautiful old farm. Well, it looks beautiful. It's fallen in. This farmhouse, and they go to drill a well, and the well driller's going down hundreds and hundreds of feet. Well, they have to redo the foundation, and while they're doing that, water just gushes up anyway. You know? And it, you know, it's kind of what they call it, a money pit. Okay? You know, we don't want that sort of a thing, do we? And we have our dream homes, and, you know, Becky and I have a neat old, what's it called, Pittsburgh Square house, something like that. Of course, it's going to be 90 years old next year, and guess what? We just had to put a new wiring system in. We had to put in a new soil stack. That's the big tube that goes from the upstairs bathroom to the basement. Had to do it, you know. And so we dream a little bit, and every Sunday, if it's a single-story house, I'm thinking we aren't any younger than we used to be. But we cut out all these. You see these in the Sunday paper, okay? We cut these out, and some of them are huge, and some of them are small, but it's a dream. But brothers and sisters, the only dream house that you and I need to live in is that one perfect dream that God has for you and for me. That in this world we are His dwelling place. We are His temple. We are His home in this world. Not just for ourselves, but for other people. You know, I sometimes wonder, and I think, why is the church failing? Why do all the mainline denominations hemorrhage members left and right? And I'm still a member of the Presbyterian Church USA. And we have lost, believe it or not, since January 1st, over 300 congregations. And there are another 260 seeking to leave. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? People like to call Jesus Lord, but they don't know what it means. Lord means He can command us. It means He sets the blueprint, He sends the material, and He makes us the laborers. And we're to do it by God's blueprint, not mankind. I love the History Channel. I mean, they got the Revolutionary War thing going and all that. But Becky can tell you, I got really upset last night. I was checking the channel guide. History Channel 2. Listen to this. If this doesn't scare you, it should. How the Earth Made Man. How the Earth Made Man. I thought God made us. Not Darwin and his theory of evolution, not the Big Bang, and that's a theory. And if we have any scientists in the room, they're going to be able to tell you, in all honesty, theories aren't proven. They're hunches, they're guesses, they aren't the truth. The theory of relativity, the theory of evolution, the theory of the Big Bang, they can't be proven. They're nothing. But God, on a cross 2,000 years ago, proved His love and that He created us and He wanted to redeem us and He wanted to build His home in us by the blood of His Son Jesus dripping from the cross. By Christ's hands and feet pierced with cruel nails the size of railroad spikes. With a cruel crown of thorns, 2 and 3 inch long thorns, pressed down on His forehead, beaten and bloodied by the fists of the Roman soldiers, beaten with sticks by the Roman or by the Jewish Sanhedrin, His side pierced and His heart pierced with a spear. A Roman broad spear that was used for crowd control, an 18-inch blade that was 6 inches wide at the bottom. Brothers and sisters, I'm pleading with you. For the glory of God, for the salvation of your souls and mine, for the salvation of the people we'll touch this week, let us follow God's blueprints. Let us call people to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Let us baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all that Christ has commanded. And here's something else we need to add in there. Matthew Henry pointed this out too, centuries back. When Jesus said, "All that I have commanded you," Jesus is the earthly embodiment of the second person of the Trinity, right? The Son of God. And it says, "All things were made through Him and by Him, and nothing was made that was made without Him." So all the laws of the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments, all the moral laws of the Old Testament, Jesus commanded those two as the second person of the Trinity, the divine Son of God. We cannot build the church when we tell people to ignore the commandments of God. We aren't following the blueprint. We aren't building with the right material, and we aren't laboring as we should. And the church falls apart. Think about poor Noah. He was surrounded by a godless society. Just he and his wife, Mrs. Noah. and Ham, Shem, and Japheth and their wives. They were all that was left, all that was righteous in the sight of God. And yet he hammered and sawed for 100 years. And he built the ark. And through that ark, the animals were saved. You and I were saved. Yeah, because all of us are Noah's kids. Our world is a bad place. It's a scary place. But brothers and sisters, let us hammer and saw and build the home of God within us and in the true church, and take it as much as we can to the world. Let us use God's blueprint. Let us use what he tells us to build with. And let us freely give ourselves to the labor, no matter how long it takes. Let's pray. Lord God, we stumble and fall so many times. But get our eyes back on your blueprint in Scripture. Let us build with the best we have to give, not cheap second or third rate stuff. And let us give ourselves heart and mind, body and soul, all of our strength to love you first. And once we are in that love, then we will be able to go and love other people properly. Don't let us switch it around. Don't let us love people first and then you. That's like switching the wires on a light socket. It just won't work. But Lord God, build your home. Not just within us as individuals, but within the corporate body of Christ. And let your Holy Spirit go forth to bring life to the world around us. We ask it, Father, in the precious name of Jesus, your Son, and for his glory. Amen. Our hymn of response is Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, hymn number 51. Let us stand. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who calls you, is faithful. He also will accomplish it. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide upon us and within us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.